Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a love you lavished on us. What a love you lavished on us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If he gave us Jesus, oh, what will he not along with him give? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are chosen. Thank you, Lord. You chose us. You redeemed us. You redeemed us. You saved us. Thank you, Lord. You anointed us. Thou art anointed our head with oil. Our cup overflows. We've been ordained. We've been appointed unto good works. Thank you, Lord. We are your men. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are your handmaiden. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You chose us. Thank you, Lord. You live in us. Thank you, Lord. The greater one lives in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, he chose to make you a royal priest. You are royalty. You don't get it. You are royalty. You are royalty. And no, it's not to an earthly king. It may not be, but I'm telling you for sure, it's to the King of Kings. Oh, latakila kutevelende shetila protokovela dabailes. Can you thank the Lord? From the beginning, he never made man to be ordinary. He never made a small man. He never made anybody small. He made us and breathed in us his breath. It was his breath. It has always been his breath. It has always been his spirit. Oh, Katia Labayala. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful. Even when we look down on ourselves, you are saying, you are my man. You are my man. You are my point man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For thou hast created all things, and for thine pleasure they are and were created. For thou hast created all things, and for thine pleasure they are and were created. For thou hast created, created me, and all things understanding that you are that one he created for his pleasure. I want you to sing it like that. That when you understand, I am made for his pleasure.
Wonders, Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the words you sent to us today. Our hearts are open. We receive your truth and your truth alone. Your whole counsel, Father. Think through my mind and speak through my lips. Thank you, Lord, for utterance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please have your seat. Amen. Has God been good to you? You know, if we understand that we are made for his pleasure, right? Even when it's not going as you plan, you know what I mean?
Is it bringing him pleasure? That's the question. It's not, am I comfortable? Am I happy? I mean, like Sir Hope says, do I have enough zeros in my account? It won't matter. The question is, you know, God said of Jesus, he says, this is my dearly beloved son who does what? Who brings me so much offering? You know what he said? You could not read it well. It has to be what he says now. He used to give, you know, who used to fast every day. See, he says, who brings me great joy? And that's why we are made, to bring him joy. To bring him joy. So our satisfaction should come from the fact that our lives bring him joy. If my life, I mean, is God happy with me? Nothing else matters. I mean, that should be our vision, our dream in life. That our lives are indeed bringing him great joy. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, when I was seated there, the Lord reminded, of course, it's in line with my message, but I just want to, I didn't plan to, but I want to start reading from there. Romans 6, verse 10. And the Bible says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. That is, he's talking about Jesus. He says, this death that he died though, he's not going to die again. Hallelujah. He has died once and for all. Who did he die for? You and I. Amen. And it is done. It's a done deal. The topic for today is the power of surrender. Amen. The power of surrender. It's so beautiful what God did in Jesus. What God did for us in Christ. We can't comprehend it fully on this side of life. Hallelujah. You see, everything that God will ever do for us, he has already done. Let me say it again. Everything God will ever do for you, he has already done what? Done it. Where? In Christ. So he packaged everything you ever need on earth in Christ. And where is Christ? Where is Christ? Where is Christ? In us. God. Well, when this scripture came to me, it was in the line that, you know how we plead with God to help us. So somebody is struggling with something and you are pleading with God. For example, you are trying to maintain a prayer devotion and probably you failed one or two times and you are begging God to help you as though he hasn't helped you already. And he says, all the help you need, I've already given. I'm not withholding my help from you. So the point is, the way we are asking the Lord for help makes it seem like I'm holding it, beg some more, plead some more. And then 2 weeks later, you are still asking him for help for the same thing, to help you read the Bible, to help you pray, to help you come out of something. You will not do it to your child, will you? Will you? So God is not withholding anything from his people. God is not withholding anything from you, from us. See, all the help I need, he has given me already. In Christ Jesus. All the help I need, he has given me in Christ Jesus. He says he has given us all that pertains to life and godliness. Does help pertain to life? Does it pertain to godliness? He has given it. Hallelujah. He has given it. It doesn't matter help in whatever area. Whatever area, seriously. Whether he's in business, whether he's to live his life, whether he's in your devotion, he has given us his help. We are marvelously helped by God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Galatians 5 from verse 16. Galatians 5. I have to run. Galatians 5 verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Okay, great. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, just reading the scriptures as a standalone scripture tells you that the flesh has its lusts. It's not something you are going to pray away. Do you understand? As long as there is flesh, it has its lusts. It has its desires. It's not, Lord, please take away all the lusts of the flesh. That's not. Do you understand? Because sometimes there are prayers we make and we wonder why we are stuck. The point is that the answer or the solution to not being ruled by the lust or fulfilling the lust of the flesh is what? You see that? So the prayer should be, Lord, teach me to walk in the Spirit. Because there is no way you walk in the Spirit and you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. Let's read on 17. We are reading to 25. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. What and what are contrary? The Spirit and the flesh. Good. So that you do not do the things that you wish. They are contrary, so that you do not do what you wish. So he's saying there is you that wants to do something, but there is another law that is striving against what you want to do, so that you don't want to, you want to pray, and then somehow something is telling you sleep or solve the internet. There's a law that is warring against your spirit. All right? He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's go on. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. In other words, the works, that is, the flesh has fruits. It produces things. And what it produces includes adultery, fornication. We are going to read that with TPT because it kind of portrays it in the way that's beautiful. Because it says that it is the more we submit to the flesh, the more we are keen to produce this fruit. Do you understand? So it's not that the way the Lord was just opening my heart to these things is this. You know how the Lord gives you an instruction and you rather do what your flesh desires? Well, it's just one disobedience. It's just today. Tomorrow I'll do it. You think it's just about one offense, just about one disobedience. What you are doing, you are strengthening your resolve to disobey. You are opening yourself to do worse. Things you don't know you can ever do. Praise God. The more we tilt towards or yield to the flesh, the more we fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh, the more we can't obey God. The more we open up ourselves to those things in our mind that are more serious sins. Praise the Lord. So he says, the cravings of the self-life, you've already moved there. Well done. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. The cravings of the self-life, they are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, it is the lust of the flesh. The flesh desires this sin. Suddenly there's a splash on your screen, you know, something, you are scrolling through Facebook and they showed something. And the flesh tells you, check what it is. The spirit says, run, oh, keep scroll flat. In fact, delete, uninstall and fly. You know, it's something, is that thing, that flesh is drawing you to it. Hallelujah. But you see, if you had been yielding to the Spirit,
you are strong enough, strengthened in your inner man to say no to the cravings of the flesh. See, those things will always come at you. That's what I'm trying to, point I'm trying to make is that those desires, those things will always, they will always come. The flesh will always throw its, you know, its candies to our face. But if we have been walking in the spirit, we can't fulfill those lusts. Are you with me? Okay. Idolatry, sorcery. Ezekiel, give me my trouble. Okay. Just go back to TBT. Let's read it from there. It's fine. Okay. 19, please. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts. Lustful thoughts. Pornography, go ahead. Chasing after things instead of God. Chasing after things instead of God. That doesn't seem like a big sin, right? It doesn't seem like it's sinful. Meanwhile, it's an immediate disobedience or a direct disobedience to do what? Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we're chasing things instead of God, it's a direct disobedience to God's word. And because you are chasing, it will come with other things. Greed. Love for mammon. Before you know it, on Sundays, we don't see you in church. Pastor was busy. One client. I had a long week. I had to sleep. So it begins to compound. So that's how we open ourselves to more of devil's temptation. Manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way. I hate that person. Are you seeing it? Senseless arguments. God has not called you to be arguing senselessly. Hallelujah. You know, it started with the Obenge things that we're like, these things are too heavy. Let's move away from them. But all of them are in the same WhatsApp group. Are you seeing it? Amen. They're in the same platform. Praise God. He rates them the same. He says senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored. Why not me? I mean, I'm more capable. Why is it you that's getting the job, getting a promotion? What's going on? Lord, why me? I come on time, I go late. Temper tantrums. Angry quarrels. So you are seeing what I'm saying. Only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. I know what I'm saying. You know, when we express anger, we expect everybody to understand why we're upset. But scripture says that our wrath does not produce the righteousness of God. It's your business that you're angry. But I'm telling you that your wrath will never produce God's righteousness. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying to us. So you can excuse and tell all the reasons why you want to stay angry and make sure everybody understands. Scatter chairs, hit the phone on the ground, just shake the house, let everybody feel your temper. You know, I learned that there are people that, pastors that stole mic. Amen. Praise the Lord. No. Praise the Lord. So you see that this walk is everyday walk for everybody. Hallelujah. So we can't afford to be doing these things. You will see what it says at the end. It says, being envious of the blessings of others. Murder. See what is in between. Something as heavy as murder is beside being envious of the blessings of others. I mean, they shouldn't be in the same category, right?
uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. He said, haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. Those who do all of these things, praise the Lord. Let's go on. But the fruit, go to NKJV here. I don't want to read. Go to New King James from here, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And those who are Christ have done what? Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Do we live in the Spirit? Do we live in the Spirit? It says, if we do, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Question is, are we able to walk in the Spirit? Are we able to walk in the Spirit? Are we thinking about it? Are we able to walk in the Spirit? You are still thinking. Okay. Hallelujah. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. If we can't, he wouldn't say to walk in the Spirit. If we can't, he will not say to us, walk in the Spirit. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. So I can walk in the Spirit. Say that. I can walk in the Spirit. So the literal meaning, of course, the New Testament is written in Greek, right? The Old Testament is written in Hebrew originally. So the literal meaning of that, to walk in the Spirit. Amen. You know what came to my mind? Is it because I was reading this? Praise God, forgive me. I will never do that. God not agree. Praise God. Amen. So it means to walk around. To walk around. To walk around. And in that sense, to conduct one's life, to live or to follow a particular course of life. I'm explaining to walk in the Spirit. To follow a particular course of life. Hallelujah. So when Apostle Paul says to walk in the Spirit, he's not saying, you know, when you feel goosebumps on your body and be like, oh, I feel the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel He's here. Ooh, I could feel it. You can feel it. But that's not all that is. It is in the entirety of your lifestyle. All that concerns you, every aspect of your life. Praise God. In all that concerns you, that you walk in the Spirit. You let the Spirit of God order your behavior, order your life. You follow His course, His plans in everything. Hallelujah. So what does it mean for us? It means living every part of your life under the influence, leadership, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means living every part of your life under the influence, leadership, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said when we started that God did everything. He did everything. Ours is to do what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in that which He has done already. So I'm just trying to explain that, what it means to walk in the Spirit. So you can understand that indeed you can do it. Can we let the Spirit of God influence our lives? Can we let Him empower us? You understand now? Can we let Him take over our lives? Can we let Him make decisions and let us walk in them? So that instead of asking, what do I feel? How am I feeling right now? You can be asking, what is the Spirit of God saying? Why is this important? You know, people say this, like I'm saying now that the Spirit of God directs every area of our lives. So, you know, when it comes to, I know I've shared a couple of times here how God directed me to my husband. So, but I know that there are times, or for many persons, it's not that dramatic. It's not anything dramatic. Amen. So, and I've heard, you know, men of God that I respect and I revere say that they just married somebody they like. You know, I just married somebody I like. And that's okay. That's not a lie. That's good. But I believe it's not the entire truth. Why do I say that? You see, like I said, walking in the Spirit is not just when we are feeling goosebumps. The Spirit of God leads us almost more unconsciously than consciously. So most times a man of God, a child of God who has been dwelling in the Spirit, who has been walking in the Spirit, who has been following the leading of the Spirit, can bump into a woman the Spirit led him to. One, remember, he changes us. He transforms us. He transforms your desires. So there's a reason you saw this person and he didn't appeal to you. Why? You've submitted your desires to the leading of the Spirit. You've submitted your heart, your flesh, your mind to the Spirit. So he's leading you to a person that you should talk to. And then you just saw the person and the person appeals to you. Why am I saying this? Is that you, or not you, somebody who is not submitting to the leading of the Spirit, who doesn't have any, you know what I mean, who doesn't not even know that they are being led, who is just minding their business, will wake up and say, I just like this person, I want to marry the person. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. You'll be in trouble. You'll be in trouble. Because sometimes what the man of the Spirit sees and likes is not the person you are seeing. What they saw and they are liking is not anything physical. Praise God. I'm only saying that it is important every area of your life you submit to the leading of the Spirit. He wants to lead you very casually, very unconsciously, very, you know, not spooky, not dramatically. He wants to just be the one leading you to where to go. And no, you didn't hear a voice. You didn't see any vision, but you are walking in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in every aspect of your life, in every area of your life, you are submitting to his leading, such that in decisions as big as marriage, you know I am being led. Amen. Are you still with me? Have I left you somewhere? God is good. So why this is important is this. Like I always quote Pastor Murphy that will say that when you stop praying, you'll be amazed at the things you will do. When you don't walk in the Spirit, when you ignore the leading of the Spirit, one prompt after another, one disobedience after another, you will not imagine, you can't picture the things you will do. Suddenly, things that you have rejected long ago will begin to appeal to you. Things that shouldn't even make you laugh will become comedy. Praise God. Business you have no business doing will suddenly, you know, the profit is 50%. And it becomes something to consider. People are coming to marry me. What am I considering? Ojikwego, is he rich? I mean, does he have moolah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then you now tell me you saw the person and it just looked like the will of God. I was coming out from a fast. Immediately I saw him. He looked like it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the more we don't yield to the Spirit, brethren. You see, I'm saying to you that you've been graced to walk above sin. You have all the help you need to live above sin, to live above unrighteousness.
I hope you know that. And let me say this to you, that you faltered, no matter in what area, does not make you less of what God has called you to be, or what he has called you in righteousness. Do you agree with me? Hallelujah. I mean, when you look at the list of what we sang, I mean, think about it. We get angry once in a while. And even remember it, you know, 1 week later, you are still telling the person, I'm still remembering what you did. But you see, it's ungodliness. And the flesh will always pull you towards ungodliness. The flesh will always pull you towards unrighteousness. I hope you know these things were written to a church. It was not to, you know, people that are on the street. I mean, is it not Galatians now? It was to a church. There were people that are now in a church. Apostle Paul is saying, now you have received Christ. Your nature has been changed. You can now do without these things. You now have power over these things. It has been given. So it is that I'm waking you up to your reality in Christ, to your new nature. The nature you have now is not the one of sin, of lust. No, it's not the one that it can easily yield and fulfill the lust of the flesh. The you now is the one who Christ lives in. You now have the ability to live above everything that is not in line with the Spirit. You can now walk in the Spirit. So therefore, walk in the Spirit. Do you understand that? So when you look at yourself and it just feels like, it's such a struggle. It's such a struggle. Even in business, God has, even in ministry, there are expressions God has called you into. There are things God has called you to do. But somehow you feel, how? I can't. I couldn't. All of that. But he's saying, my Spirit lives in you. See, the flesh will never work out God's plan for your life, for anybody's life. And the more we walk in disobedience, the more difficult it is to obey God. Every disobedience is strengthening more disobedience. Every disobedience is encouraging more disobedience. But you see, every victory over the flesh strengthens you for more victory. Every victory you exercise over the flesh tells you, yay, I can do more. Can you put Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13? Let's read that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I can walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 13. You know, the crux of what I'm sharing with you today is this. God has not called you to fight the flesh. Do you hear that? He has not called us to fight the flesh. Why? We just read now that we've crucified it on the cross. When Jesus died, those lusts, those cravings, those desires were what? Nailed on the cross. So no, we are not fighting the flesh. No flesh can win against the flesh. So when Apostle Paul talks about putting the flesh under, it's not, no, I won't do it today. No, I cannot do it today. I will never do it today. Not me today. Not me today. Ah, God forbid. God forbid. It's not it. For it is God, 12, please. 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He says what? Walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, sometimes we read that and we'll be like, we need to go to gym and just war against this anger, war against this, you know, addiction, war against this, you know, weakness. But you see, that's not what he's saying. He says, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It means something has been walked in already. Abi? That you now need to do what? Walk out. And verse 13 explains this. Let's go. For it is God who does what? Works where? In you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Is it not amazing? Whether it's to will it or it's to do it, God is working in you. I think it's a cue to rejoice. I'm living victoriously because God is working victory in me. He has worked victory. He's working victory. He's always victory for me. Hallelujah. So God is the one who works in me both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So if God is working in us, what is now our response to his work? What is our response to his work? If he says, no, don't go and be fighting addiction. Don't say, I will not do it today. Okay, I used to smoke 5 before. I'll now be smoking 3.5. No, that's not it. It's not anything you will win. By flesh shall no man prevail. So, I tried to just list it out a bit. The first is that we must believe that God has done it already. Whatever struggle in the flesh you have, see, it can be gluttony. Every food you eat, you must eat it. And until the food finishes, you are not full. You can see, believe what God has done already. Believe that God has done it already. So whatever the struggle is, remember, it can be laziness. It can be uncleanliness. Believe that He has worked in you already. And because he has worked in you, you can live this way. You can walk in the spirit. You can walk above the flesh. Praise the Lord. So there's something about saying what God has done for you. I've shared a number of times. Anyway, well, I know ministers, I know 2 right now, who even after they were Christians were still smoking. Amen? You know such people? You do, right? They were still smoking. They were still smoking. You know, you would think that, oh, maybe they didn't burn well. They born again, they not turn well. You know, done. You mean like you need to put like two sticks of firewood, make it done. But you see, they were done the day they gave their life to Jesus. The moment you receive Christ, Christ came and dwelled in you. It doesn't matter what you are doing afterwards, you know, all the struggles of the flesh. It doesn't negate the life you received. You know, sometimes we think that salvation is too fragile. And this salvation, if you do anyhow, you could just lose it. Do you know what Jesus went through? He says he died once for all. He paid the price once for all. He dealt with sin forever and ever. So you see that whatever struggle has already been dealt with is a lie. The hold of sin, the hold of weakness, whatever it is, has already been dealt with. So if it is our struggle, then it's a lie. If we're still believing that it's holding us, it's a lie. Hallelujah. I'm trying to read the scripture, but I don't know where it's Philemon. I'm wondering where. Philemon, is it not in my Bible again? Praise God. It's Philemon 16. Ah, this is serious. Oh. Amen. Sorry, verse 6. Philemon verse 6 says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By what? The acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That is the part we don't do so well. Acknowledging what he has done already. See, we must believe that Christ has done everything. You must believe that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You must believe that you have all that pertains to life and godliness. You must believe that Christ is, God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How do you, when you believe it, how do you express that you believe it? You acknowledge it. You say it. You say it. Hallelujah. You say it. I was saying that I'm all trying to get to the story of believers who have given their lives to Christ, but they are still dealing with stuff. And then these pastors had shared that one is a female, one is a male. They were still smoking. How did they deal with it? It's not by saying, I will not smoke again. I will not smoke again. I will not smoke again. What you are doing is that you are just saying, I will still smoke. Why? Smoking is what you will be seeing. When you are saying, I will not smoke again, what you are seeing is what? Cigarette. But what, both of them, of course, different things they did, but the one I want to share is, he just started to took the scriptures and began to say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. The new is here. So he just started to just speak scripture. What is he saying? I am acknowledging that the old man has been nailed to the cross. The new is here. And this new one does not smoke. Do you get? So it's not, I will not. It is that this is what God has done. I acknowledge it. So he just kept saying it. And just every day, even if he can be smoking and be saying it. Why? He hated the fact that he was doing that. Right? But he also believed that Christ has helped him deal with it. So he just kept declaring what God's word, just declaring God's word, declaring who he is now in Christ. And he just woke up one day and realized that it'd been days, it'd been a week. And he hadn't smoked a cigarette. I mean, he had to remember, when did I not smoke? Meanwhile, I've been smoking every day. See, the word of God, the Bible says, is sharp. It is active. It is alive. It can enter your gene and cause a change there, cause a placement. Change everything that needs to be changed. Can remove what needs to be removed and put what needs to be put. You must acknowledge what God has done in your life. The more you acknowledge it, the more you put the flesh under. Hallelujah. The more you acknowledge, the more word. Can you rise to your feet? I want you to, in a minute, acknowledge what God has done in you. I want you to acknowledge what Jesus did for you. I want you to acknowledge it. I want you to acknowledge it. I want you to acknowledge it. You can say, Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. Yes, he lives in me. He lives in me. Acknowledge what he has done. The price he paid. Say, I am a new creation. Go ahead. Acknowledge what he has done. I am a new creation. I stand above weakness. I am full of strength. I do what he has called me to do because he has empowered me. Go ahead. Acknowledge what he has done. All things are passed away. Behold, the new is here. I am new. 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 I walk in divine favor. Go ahead. I am devoted. I am disciplined. I am excellent. I am excellent. I am excellent. I am excellent. In the name of Jesus Christ.
You can have your seat. So I said number one is what? Number one is what? Believe that God has done it already. Number two, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. God works in us, so we yield to Him. See, this Christian life is not self-improvement. Amen? It's not self-improvement. It is spirit dependence. What the Spirit does, it doesn't improve you, it transforms. Hallelujah. It's not, you're not your improved version, it's transformation. It transforms. Hallelujah. That is why somebody you knew yesterday, you see the person, just feel like the person has become, you just see, is a new creation. Apostle Paul will say, I've never killed anybody in my life. Amen. I've never killed anybody. Did you see me kill anybody? What do you mean, Apostle Paul? Stop lying. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. Why? The person who did that is already nailed to the cross. Me? Never. Never. I'm a life giver. I don't take lives. But that's what the Spirit of God does for us. So we do what? We yield to the Spirit. We depend on the Spirit. The truth is, the Holy Spirit never forces us. He never, he never tries to force anybody, impose himself on us. He leads us gently. He leads us. He guides us. Praise the Lord. He loves that we yield to Him, that we let Him lead us. Every day of our lives, we choose whether we are to submit to the flesh or to the Spirit. Every day you wake up, we make that decision, consciously and unconsciously. But it's good to do what? Make it consciously. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'll follow the leading of the Spirit today. But every day you wake up, the things you do, the choices you make, the actions you take show if you are yielding to the Spirit or your flesh. Glory to God. Surrender is agreeing with what God has already done inside of us. Praise the Lord. It's agreeing with what God has done already. I want to read the scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Romans 8 verse 12, of course, but verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who have been what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. You will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Of course, it is that for as many that led themselves to be led by the Spirit of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. For you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you live according to the flesh, you will experience death. Amen. There are times you just feel like the spirit is dull. You are praying, it seems like it's hitting the roof. It just feels like God is so far away. The more we don't follow, the more we don't yield to the Spirit, the more when you have reason, there's something to pray about. It just feels like you need to ginger, you need to gather yourself, you need to do a lot. Meanwhile, He has always been there. It now feels like you need to put more effort into praying. You need to fast some more. You need to do some more. The amazing thing with God is that He's not in a hurry. Your emergency is not His emergency. So if you have been minding your business and suddenly life comes up, you know, something comes up, and then you want God to shake on His throne and know that there's an emergency. You know what He did? We only read 1 Samuel. What He did to them now? We didn't ask God His plan. He didn't ask Him, Lord, what? He didn't yield to Him. You decided to bring the ark in the place of war. And they are shouting, yay! God is here. The covenant, the ark of covenant is here. You know, you would think that God would. My people are shouting that I've arrived. Let me at least do something. Upe, is your problem? You know, like the person that was testifying, he said, if God, you sent me, so is your shame. If you know, can't send you, you go. And you're telling Him, Lord, I'm going, if you shame me, leave it. You will shame. You see the shame very well. Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that does what? Rightly divide word of truth. See, you will see shame if you don't listen to the voice of the Spirit. Of course, God always waits for us at the door of mercy. But I'm saying you will experience what you shouldn't have experienced if you don't follow, if you don't yield to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our responsibility is to do what? Stand in what the Lord has done. Stand in what the Spirit of God has done. So number three is walking. That's why I'm even saying now. Number three is walking the victory already won. Walking the victory already won. Walk in the victory. We are not trying to obtain victory. Amen. We're not trying to obtain victory. Jesus has given us victory over death. He has given us victory over death. He has given us victory over death, over sin, over poverty. He has given us victory over all things, over principalities and powers. We have victory in Christ Jesus. But it's your responsibility to walk in that victory. You see, many believers live defeated because they don't get into the victory Christ has already wrought for us. Sometimes we feel that, we just need to do the, let's just be managing our small business, in case if we now start to expand now, what about if we start getting into, listen, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. All that God has, He has given to us. So God cannot be quickening our minds to expansion, to increase. And we're letting the weakness of our flesh keep us low, keep us little. Let's just be, this one shop is enough. This little I'm doing is okay. Hallelujah. If the Spirit of God is leading you, see, walk in the victory we already have in Christ. Walk in that victory. How do you walk in that victory? The same thing. Keep acknowledging what He has done. Keep acknowledging what He has done. And take steps towards His instructions. Hallelujah. Don't let fear keep you bound. Amen. Don't let fear keep you. Don't let fear keep you. Scripture says, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Believe that you are dead to sin. Believe it. Believe it. Even if you did one wrong yesterday, say it. I reckon that I am already dead to sin. I reckon that I am alive to Jesus. I am alive to Christ. Then the fourth one where I'll stop. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit through obedience. Through obedience. Through obedience. Obey promptly. Obey promptly. Obey promptly. Every prompting of the Spirit, everything the Spirit of God drops in your heart, run with it. The reason why a man can change is because his heart has been changed. When you see people who do something good, but you know that inherently they are bad, it's because the heart is bad. But when the heart is changed, even when they do bad, they can't glory in the bad. They just know, I shouldn't be doing this. So we are able to obey because now we are changed people. We are people who have been changed. Our hearts are changed. We can now walk in the light and in the light of God's word and in the path the Lord has set before us. We can obey his instructions because he has made us new. Hallelujah. So obedience is how we surrender, how we who are surrendered people cooperate with God's work. You know, sometimes, like I mentioned a bit of it last week, God wants to do so much through us, but we are not yielding to him. We're not walking in the light. Sin consciousness hinders God from doing what he wants to do in your life. Amen? Please understand this. Surrendering to God is all you need to do to walk in victory. Understanding that he has done it all, yielding to him, following his leading, obeying every prompting. Stop reminding yourself what you have done. Stop reminding yourself your weakness. Don't keep it before you. You have done the business and it failed. You tried hosting this, it didn't work out the way you planned. Don't keep it to your face. Hallelujah. Don't keep it to your face and be looking at it. You are righteous. Be righteousness conscious. Be victory conscious. Say who you are. Praise the Lord. Because most times when we I'm not sin conscious, but what is your prayer life like? When you ask the Lord for forgiveness of sins, you ask for omission, for commission, the one I did in my mother's womb, the one that I'm going to still do, you ask the one that I did yesterday, you are asked every time you come to pray, Lord, the way that pigs used to swim in potter potter, that's how I'm swimming in sin. You see, all those things, it doesn't please God. I want to say to you, it doesn't please God. When somebody is listening to you, like, oh, wow, you are just feeling. No, it's not pleasing to the Lord. If you do something wrong, the Bible says, well, confess your sin. What exactly are you confessing? Do you get what I'm saying? What did you do that you are confessing? If you did something wrong, confess your sins. And he will forgive you. But don't keep telling him, from my mother's womb, I'm a sinner every day. No, you are not. The flesh wants you, you know, those emotional things that we do. No. It's not emotional and spiritual. They are not equal to. Being emotional is not equal to being spiritual. Hallelujah. You know, you can cry and just feel all the goosebumps and still go out there and do what you want to do. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? Walking in the Spirit, submitting to the leading of the Spirit is better than being, you know, I feel. No, it's not your feelings. God will never minister to you through your feelings. God will never instruct you through your feelings. He will always instruct you through what? Your spirit. Through his spirit on your inside. Today I'm encouraging you. It doesn't matter what the struggle is. It doesn't matter what addiction it is. It doesn't matter what weakness it is. It doesn't matter whatever it is. If you would take your eyes away from that weakness onto the strength of the Lord, you will see the hand of the Lord change your life. If you can take your eyes off of those things and just put it on the Spirit, put it on Christ, you will see Christ, that which has worked in you, you will see it expressed out of your life. Hallelujah. You've been equipped. You've been blessed. You've been empowered. You are able to walk in the Spirit. You are able to yield to the leading of the Spirit. You obey the instructions of the Lord. You are righteousness conscious. You are called righteous. Yes, he called you oaks of righteousness, planted for the display of his splendor. You do the work of he that has called you. You do his work. You do his work. You obey God.
You walk his walk. You walk in the light. You do not walk in darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you behave like God. You bring him great joy. In the name of Jesus Christ. You go forth and you begin to speak forth who you are now. You speak forth your new nature. Above every other thing. You hear the voice of the Spirit saying to you, this is the way, go in it. And for you who is thinking that, just God impressed in my heart now, I've gone too far. I've strayed too far. I've taken steps too far I shouldn't have taken. You see, the mercies of God, they are new every morning. The fact that you are here in this service, it is God drawing you. He has always been drawing you. He never left. He has always been drawing you. You think you have gone too far. But I'm saying to you, right where you are standing, he has already made a way. He has already made a way. He has already made a way. Embrace his loving kindness. Embrace his mercy. Is anybody like that here? Is anybody like that here? I feel like I've taken steps. Steps I shouldn't have taken. I wonder, how will I ever return? How will I ever? How will I ever? You're asking yourself, how will I ever? How will I ever? Is anybody like that? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. Thank you, Lord. 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 Embrace him. It's fine. Embrace him. Embrace him. Embrace him. Embrace him. Embrace Jesus. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've always been waiting for your return. I've always been waiting for your return. In whatever area you've made mistakes, I speak restoration in the name of Jesus. I speak restoration. I speak restoration. I speak restoration. I speak restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.